All right, let's get her going for the next 2 hours on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jennifer Rolnick, and in for the next 2 hours for the vacationing Justin Bourne is no other, the wonderful, the talented. Let's put our hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick.
Kippy, thank you. By the way, you know, thank you. I'll start off, don't screw up Jennifer's name because I think she was the first person, I forget how many years ago, like, you know when someone says to you, like I was single for a long time, and they'll say, like, hey, I know somebody you used to go out with or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she said she had a friend that I went out with her mom. That was the first, yeah. So, yeah, that was all of a sudden the ageism kind of thing. So it wasn't that her friend I went out with. It was her mom I went out with. So
you're not that far off from getting grandmothered.
So anyway.
Gord.
Anyway, it was good seeing her. Anyway, I had a good situation with the friend's mom. So anyway, it was all good. All good.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad everybody's watching, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. This is our Leaf Hour edition. It is game day. Sammy, right back in the thick of things. One of your favorite clubs. The Boston Bruins tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I was thinking about this matchup today. When's the last? I guess both of these teams have been solidly in playoff spots pretty much throughout the whole Matthews era, right? I guess the first couple years it would be more, but like this is the first time these two teams have met where one of them is in real disarray, where one of them is outside of the playoffs, they're injured, they're really struggling. Like, this feels like a massive game for the Bruins, even though we all wrote them off yesterday, Kipper.
Yep.
It's just, it feels weird to go in there with them being so, I don't guess, disarray. Is that an okay word, Gordon?
I think it works.
Yeah. You know, it's, you're right, because during the regular season, they've all had pretty good runs. You know, regular season runs, and every time in the playoffs, of course, it's the Bruins that broke at Leaf fans' hearts. But so 2010, Kipper, you're on the panel with Bob McKenzie, Darren Pang, the Olympics,
yep.
You know, and you had the expression about, like, you know, when you got him by the throat, put your foot on, whatever it may be, you had a pretty good...
You remember
good,
that?
Yeah, I remember all that
wow.
stuff. Wow. I don't get out much, right? So I just all these turns. So, yeah, you were, hey, man, that was big stuff being on that panel.
Well,
man.
When you think, again, the numbers for this past week, 16 million people,
yeah.
I think, across North America and in Canada, we had that number for the gold medal game alone in Canada.
This was the first time in 15 years that compared to that. It really was, right? So anyway, but the point being is, that's what the Leafs have a chance to do. Like, you know, you're not going to eliminate the Boston Bruins, but man, they're there. They're there. Charlie McAvoy, that's a huge injury.
Yep.
Those are the biggest stories. You know, we'll talk about the Tkachuks later on and all that, but I mean, no Hampus Lindholm, no Charlie McAvoy. From the get-go, the Boston Bruins have had an uneven season, and they keep thinking, you know, then at one point you're going, hey, don't tell me both Boston and Tampa Bay won't make the playoffs. Well, it seems like John Cooper's team got their act together before the break. But Boston, man, and you got a chance to say a big win on the road, and all of a sudden the Bruins languish and it gets tougher. They have not been able to get to that. It's been insurmountable for them this year, which is puzzling because other years they were home and cooled out.
In about 25 minutes, we'll welcome in Andy Brickley, who does the color commentating for the Boston Bruins. He'll join us, help us tee up tonight's contest. Outside of that, the Leafs continue to get points as mm-hmm. we close in ever so closely to the trade deadline. And just wondering, Gord, between what you saw going into the Four Nations break to what we saw as early as this past weekend,
okay,
how much of a swing are you on wants and needs the rest of the way?
Okay, first of all, I got to be honest. Like, so this is my first, I think I'm going to be here five times, right? Five shows?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Disney World or Disneyland. So anyway, I got to say,
what are the Disneys?
I kind of had the bends. You know the bends in diving that you got to come up slowly?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm getting back to regular scheduled programming, watching the NHL, because that, to the point, best international hockey in 15 years. And so watching that Four Nations face-off. And I had a comparable that, like, I was saying unfairly on the weekend. I go, is this slow? I was being unfair. But I remembered that years ago, you remember a team called the Flying Fathers at all?
I do.
Okay. So you wouldn't know.
No idea.
So there were a bunch of priests from Northern Ontario.
Where, like, they played at St. Mike's or something? Well, or they did the tour?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were like a fun, good hockey players. Yes. Like Father Les Costello had been in the NHL. Others could have been NHL players. And they started in Northern Ontario, a group of priests that were pretty good players. And they do some Harlem Globetrotter shtick. And they go around and raise money, okay? You know, good charity ventures. So decades ago, in the Harold Ballard era, he put together a game between the Toronto Maple Leaf alumni. Like, there was no alumni then. And he told me to go, you got to get a team together. And guys didn't want to play with each other, and they're going to play the Flying Fathers. And all the money went to the Charlie Conacher Cancer Research Fund. So Maple Leaf Gardens was sold out. Like, it was sold out. It all came together really well. So early 1980s. So I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing older people talk about, and now I'm one of those older people, but they're watching, like, Frank Mahovlich and all those guys. Okay, this is first seen them play, and they're going, look at the passing. Look at the skating. I go, they're playing a bunch of old priests. Like, you know that's what they're playing. They're playing a bunch of old priests. What do you mean? But for these people, this was the team that won 4 Stanley Cup. They're going, oh, my, it's just so different. So that's kind of what on the weekend, I found myself saying, oh, come on. You know, I think unrealistic.
Where's the passing?
You're playing a bunch of old priests again, you know, the Flying Fathers. So I had to get reacclimated, but I always do remember that. People seriously thinking, like, oh, my God, these guys, these Daryl Sittlers suck at everything. Look at these guys, the way hockey should be played.
That's hilarious. I've never, ever heard of the Flying Fathers.
Well, if you Google them,
I'm reading about it right now.
Big column. They were called the Harlem Globetrotters of hockey, and it's just a neat story. They started organically just for charity things, and there were a bunch of people that chose the clergy or their priesthood rather than playing professional sports.
Yeah, the Flying Fathers played over 907 games. They only lost 6 times, Gordo.
Yeah, well, that's right. It said like the Harlem Globetrotters.
So the moral of the story is the Leafs should trade for a priest.
Yeah, well, and they should get Father Vaughn Quinn. Yeah, he was the goaltender. Maybe he has their depth goaltender going for the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
my God.
I don't know. Pull out a style. I don't know if you need a priest, a minister, a rabbi, whatever religious denomination in the playoffs, if that's going to help you. So to get back to the Leafs, okay, I like it. Start again. First place in the division. Let's get that. Okay. Kachuk being out for Florida. That's another, you know, like let's get that. Let's not be in the 2-3 matchup. Let's get home ice advantage. Let's be a little bit different this year heading in. And certainly that the weekend was a great start for that with a win that you weren't sure about and then a win that was expected in Chicago.
Okay. Let's go to a Kippers Clipper, our first one of the day, and follow up Gord Stellick's comment on going for first place in the division with Craig Berube's thoughts.
Yeah, it's always a, you know, it's competitive game, right? I don't know if you look at first place, you look at, you know, focus on, you know, the games we play is winning them, right? So you got to just take care of your own business night in and night out and not look at the standing so much. Just look at where you're at as a team and what we're doing day to day. You know, I think that's more of the focus than looking at the standings. We can't control what other teams do. We only can control what we do night in and night out. And you look at the league and look at the standings everywhere, it's tight. So we got to win games. We got to be focused on what we're doing.
I think if it's one thing that at least Leaf fans can look at coming off the tournament and a big break for the players that weren't participating in the Four Nations is that the consistency of what the Leafs had in net up until the break and after the break remained very consistent. Say what you will about pace of play or what you didn't really like seeing out of the skating part of the hockey club. The goaltenders, both of them, Wall and Stolarz, picked up where they left off. I thought they were absolutely great in games that they could have easily lost one of them, Gord.
Yeah. You know, and by the way, I'm saying the speed thing was unfair by me to comment, but yeah, just sort of from one or the other. But you know, Sammy, that's again, I don't know the last time the Leafs have had this kind of depth goaltending and hopefully healthy heading into a playoff, like a 1-2 tandem. And I was really encouraged how Stolarz came back from injury. Like Thatcher Demko struggled before he got hurt again. You know, Linus Allmark has had some struggles coming back, and it's almost been a seamless return for Stolarz. So that 1-2 punch has been very impressive.
Yeah, Stolarz's first game back, I'm trying to remember when it was, but it was against who, as I'm quickly looking it up here. it was against Seattle where he came in that game and he was really, really good right away. So you're right. I mean, he's played two games since the long break that he had from December 12th to February 6th. I mean, it's crazy the break he had in between the games that he's played. He goes tonight. I think it's the right choice to kind of just go back and forth here. But this is the thing I've said to Kipper a lot of times, and I'll say it to you now too, is that I do think a lot of what the Leafs are is pretty similar to years past. Like you think of, you know, the forward, it's a lot about the core four. And, you know, Tanev's a great add, so maybe you can say the D-core is a little bit better. But ultimately, it's a pretty similar thing. The biggest difference is you're going into the game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, hopefully, with not a Samsonov type or a, you know, Jack Campbell, who is great, and you'll make fun of me always for saying that he's Cujo. All the stuff that, like, it's just having these two goalies really, really changes how deep, and my perspective on this team, how deep they can actually go. Like, I really do have hope because of that.
Well,
hope's a dangerous
thing. They had one good goalie in Freddie, but he never really delivered
He didn't play too much, right?
Well, I didn't play too much, right? We kept thinking he's the Kawhi Leonard. We had to get him, like, load management, whatever, during the season.
And he couldn't win big games.
Exactly.
Yes.
Never mind play. Stop making excuses. He could not win big games. And I love Freddie. I love regular season Freddie. But he was synonymous with what the team was in the playoffs. So, yeah. I also, to Sammy's point, Kipper, like, I mean, to add Jake McCabe, not just Tana, but OEL in the last, couple of years, to add a couple of core four guys like that, I think that's another upgrade. They may not, forward depth, you know, you don't have, like, guys like Hyman and all that, where when they were on entry-level contracts, you know, you had a little bit more depth up front. You know, it's probably a little bit, you could argue, maybe a little bit weaker right now. But, yeah, there's a lot more positives this year. Craig Berube has not been here every year, Craig. We got to look at the standings this year, okay?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, we got to
totally
try something different here. That may have worked, you know, you won a ring in 2019. But, you know, I think it's a very tangible goal to have something different this year and go in first place.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube.
I mean, just more on that, like, it's imperative to avoid that, like you said off the top, either the Tampa matchup or the Florida matchup in that first round. If you can get that first in the division, then you're, like, with Detroit, who they've, you know, played really well against over the last 6 or 7 years. You get a Senators team, which, you know, get that conversation, but it's just so massive to avoid that 2-3 matchup, like you said.
Derek, clip 3 on Chiefs goalies.
Well, it's definitely nice that, you know, we can get a nice rotation going here like we have most of the year. I know Stoley was out for some time, but, you know, that's a nice thing to have, and not wearing somebody out either, and using both guys, and they both played extremely well for us this year.
So wearing them out, I went back and looked at what Frederik Andersen played in the first three seasons with the Leafs. Played 66, 66, 60. It's a lot of hockey. That's, looking back on that, there's no goalie. Is any goalie on pace for that outside of Hellebuck this year?
No, and it's changed. Yeah. And we went through a period of first of all, everybody's wish and hope to have that guy that could play 60 games. And then we went through a period where we started watching teams go to the 1A and 1B.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the window of conversations where you can't win that way, to now it almost being the norm.
Yeah. And it happened in a short period of time. You know, like this, he wasn't the only guy playing 60 games. By the way, it would have been nice if he played 28 playoff games, but he never got the grind. I mean, that ends up being a grind if you go all the way. But, you know, it's funny, Kipper, Berube did a weekly hit with us on NHL Morning Skate after he got fired last year. So you could kick around, you know, that's when a coach is great, when they're at loose ends and they're pretty candid. So we brought up about the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, because they've been a real surprise team last year, battling again this year. But last year had been a real surprise team. So you talked about whether it's the karma Tortorella had, all these things. Right off the bat, first thing he said, great 1-2 goaltending. And that's before Carter Hart had to leave, which we know why. But he just mentioned about Ersson and Carter Hart. Like, okay, all these other things about a team, you don't have the goaltending. You don't have it, right? And if you have depth goaltending, that's a real luxury. And that, you know, so he pointed that out right away about the Flyers. And when they didn't have the depth anymore, that's part of why they sunk after. And obviously, it's a nice, if you want to call it luxury, predicament, whatever you want to call it, predicament, meaning in who you start every game, to have in Toronto for a change.
Do you think it's, because Kipper, you've mentioned this before in the past, and I'll ask you, Gordo, is it a predicament once you get to playoff time if both of them are in form, or is it just a luxury?
A luxury. That's luxury. A happy predicament.
Okay.
You know, like you've got two lottery tickets and they're both worth $1 million. We know, which one do you give to your brother-in-law? Yeah. The answer is neither. But anyway, you know, just that's called a half, or one's worth $500,000, whatever.
Yeah. I don't envision, again, one guy coming out fairly hot and then being pulled just because it's not his turn. But I don't envision one of these guys, if the Leafs are lucky enough to get to a conference final, I think at the most we'll see a 60-40 split. I don't think we'll see a 90-10, 80-20 split the way things are going right now.
And that's the same for a few teams that, you know, and of course Washington started Grubauer the first couple of games, and then Braden Holtby came in. And but to Sammy, maybe where I'll give you is, and Kippy, I wonder, like, did Jim Montgomery kind of get handcuffed because they'd had that tandem – and he stuck with it, right? Back and forth, playoffs. And then the other time he just went with Swayman, right?
Well, against the Leafs last year, they went Swayman game one. Game two, they went to Ullmark and lost. And then the rest of the series, it was Swayman. Swayman.
So he went away from it.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of saying, okay, well, Ullmark got moved. So it's not like they started the season with a goaltending controversy. They knew they were contract-wise. Yes. They're going to have to move one of them. But it's kind of interesting that he did that, and then this year, goaltending, which hadn't been an issue in Boston, you know, had everything's been a bit of an issue in Boston.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that with Andy Brickley in about 15 minutes. Moving forward on Kelly Yonkrok, you got a couple of clips here. You want to throw to Berube's first?
Yeah, so this is...
Can you pronounce that again, sorry?
Yonkrok.
He's doing it like his good buddy Matt's.
Yonkrok.
This is the first clip about the update on Kelly Yarncroc. You'll love this, Kipper. Clip 5.
He's close. He's very close. There's some things that have to be done with, you know, stuff. But, you know, he's feeling excellent, and you know, he has to see the doctor yet, and he will do that shortly here. But he's feeling great on the ice, like he's really ready to play.
That would be salary cap. The juggling will commence.
Well, first of all, I love Craig. Thank God Craig Berube's not your doctor. Because imagine you're going to get an update. Well, we did some stuff.
It's on the chart.
Can you get a little bit more precise? Whatever about the stuff? Yeah. It's the world of the balancing salary cap on top of the injury thing. Yeah. Don't say too much.
So he makes 2.1. So that's what's going to be coming off LTR when he's ready to play.
Yeah.
Close.
So what are they going to do here?
I don't know whether or not they got to move something out, is my understanding, before he can come.
Yeah.
So... is it enough to send Reeves down?
Boy,
is it,
who's going to tell him?
Yeah, but
oh,
I was under the impression that as much as Berube's using the word close and shortly, that it would have been still difficult for him to come in
For cap reasons,
till after the trade deadline, at the very least.
Well, look what the Red Wings did in moving Ville Husso, right? Just like you go, well, why is he going there? Well, part of it is they get cap relief, right, for something they're going to do, because there's only about a quarter of a salary that doesn't count when you're in the American Hockey League. So teams now, like, what, you know, making these kind of moves, and you're right. People have talked about Max Domi being traded. But I don't get that. That's been a good role player for the team. But
that's depending on what you think you can bring in.
Oh, well,
right?
No, 100%. That's why when we talk about trades, and you know, it's all, what are you going to get back? It's always that thing, rather than throwing names out there and that and it's understood that you have to be creative, and it's understood that also that could hurt a bit, that someone moves on that you really don't want to move on, but to better the team, to make it incrementally better, you maneuver things to make that trade.
And did they move Husso before Andrew Copp got hurt?
Andrew Copp was put on LTIR today. So that's almost $11 million that they have now. That's gone out their cap.
Something may be up in Detroit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be fun up to the trade deadline, because all these teams that are battling, and you think about, you know, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Montreal have kind of declared themselves that they can do selling. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh already have done it. So all of a sudden, like, you're Detroit or whatever. Like, it's been too long. You're Ottawa, it's been too long. And you're there in both instances. You're Columbus, and you're there surprisingly so. So, yeah, and one piece. Don't leave one stone unturned for your best attempt to try to make the playoffs.
There will be a number of teams that could tinker with the Tampa Bay Kucherov rule.
Yeah.
Vegas with Theodore.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dallas is already there.
Florida with Matthew Tkachuk. Dallas,
they're already there.
So there's a handful here that are going to exceed the salary cap based on their injury situation.
So according to cap wages, the Leafs have right now 1.3 and change in cap space. So I guess then to get to his 2.1, I'm not going to do bad math, but that's one contract of an entry-level one, or like a league minimum one, or the Reeves one, which would probably get them to that 2.1 or whatever, but they do have a little bit of cap space to work with.
2.2, you said?
2.1.
2.1. Yeah. So I got 2.2.
Okay.
You gave him a raise.
I gave him a raise, which fits Cali Yonkruk.
So there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
So I think so he's good. He's good as is. He's good.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what they want to do or they want to give themselves some more flexibility, but right now it looks like he's good to go.
And who are these, you know, Leafs?
Is that like acquiring a depth player? Not for you? Like, I've told these guys on a number of occasions, you know, a few years ago, I just looked at him and go, that's not my type of guy in the playoffs. There's parts of his game that I've liked over the years. If he can pick up where he left off, I don't know what kind of player you're getting after all this long, this time.
What Leaf has been the depth kind of player in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like they added Blackwell one year. They added like a lot of guys that had done well somewhere else, you know, and just same thing. I know it's been kind of a revolving door, although, you know, you get Bobby McMahon making it last year and sticking and, you know, but just, yeah, that's been the problem. It's not only have the big guns not been a difference maker in the playoffs, but those kind of depth players that when there's been great runs going, you look back and you see their value, because the good depth players become, I mean, we saw what Bobby Holik did to Toronto a few years. Like, those guys become more valuable in the playoffs, and whether it's just hasn't been the right time for them in Toronto and they did it elsewhere or whatever, that's been a void. There's been no Nick Paul getting a big goal, you know, like at a critical time, like he did against Toronto for Toronto in a playoff game.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on what he thinks Yonkruk can bring to the Leaf lineup.
Veteran player, very intelligent player, as you guys know. Checks a lot of boxes, you know, penalty killing and end of games, face-offs. Like, he can play any position. He's a real complimentary player with good players, which is nice to have too.
I do worry that he'll come back and they'll immediately put him up into the top six probably, right? Because they've been doing Holmberg up there a lot. It's been mix and match. So you have to imagine that if he comes back, he said he's a complimentary guy, he can play any role. You have to imagine he's immediately going back up there.
He's looked upon like Max Domi would be. Max is more physical. Max can do different things. Max will
better offensive
stick
player.
You in between the eyes if he has to. Not that Cali can, but as far as moving up and down the lineup, he's a guy that can do it and hold his own.
Pretty solid.
Completely embarrassing you.
Yeah, well, and last year, there's a guy, a role player, playing at center, Max, that I was impressed how he played in that Boston series, right? You know, so, but again, you can only have so many of the same kind of players.
Yes.
Like, I think that's a lot the way the Islanders are, right? that you can only have so many complimentary players or whatever it may be, or how Craig Berube is described and how he values Yarncroke. So, you know, that's kind of the thing. Like, it's the same. So the point of difference is, yeah, Max will be more physical. Points of difference is start coming in. Who makes more money when you're looking to move around that can be, involved in making a potential move. So there's a lot, and then do you bring another complimentary player in again just because it looks good on the trade deadline? Like, do you bring a real depth player in that can be a difference maker, provide something different to the team versus a depth player that's the same in the mix you have?
Yesterday, prior to you coming out of the bullpen for Justin Bourne, he wrote an article on sportsnet.ca. I think it's still there, on maybe wants and needs of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think he had Colton Parayko on his biggest wish list.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the heart to tell him that ain't happening. But
he's got budget. If he's going to Disney World, he's got cap issues right now. Okay, so okay, he's got personal cap issues. So he probably's got no idea about the cap in the NHL world.
58 cents a dollar.
Jeez. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Pray for Bourne.
It's okay. It's all right. Spend it, buddy. Can't take it with you.
Yeah.
But still, it seems like the focus is at center ice for you, or revisiting some offense, some jump from the back end. We mentioned how terrific Tanev's been with McCabe, but it's not exactly like they're going to score a ton of goals here moving forward.
Well, again, looking back at what cost you first-round picks, Nick Foligno and Ryan O'Reilly, it's unfair because they both were injured, okay? But they didn't make differences, and there was a wow factor in both those. Luke Shen, surprisingly, ended up being the best trade deadline acquisition of whatever the last 5 years, just because he found a spot with Morgan Riley. I thought I liked Edmondson. I've liked those kind of deals.
But they were never deals good enough to get you deep.
No, well, everything didn't get you deep.
Yeah.
I just meant it, but I liked the way they contributed.
Do they need a major?
Well, they did that twice. And again, the guys got hurt, and it cost you a first-round pick, and you can only give up so many of the first. Like the Dallas Stars keep picking late in the first round, and they keep getting, the Thomas Harleys, the Wyatt Johnstons, the on and on
Stan
and on.
Colvins.
Whatever.
So
yeah.
you're not expecting much out of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, I'm not. And I we've had the wow factor. No, come on. These guys are good enough, and now they have the goaltending. Okay, so I'm expecting complementary depth pieces. That's what I'm expecting.
I'm of two minds on this, because while I do agree, ultimately what it's going to come down to is the guys that haven't been able to get over the hump, getting over the hump in some big games here. Like, it's always going to come down to the core four. It's always going to come down to Morgan Riley. It's going to come down to the goaltending. But I do feel like this team does need a bit of a jolt in the bottom half of the lineup. Like, it can't be complimentary pieces are fine, but, I don't want to be talking about Alex Steeves' playoff games and Pontus Holmberg, contributing in the top six in playoff games. Like, I do think that they do need some help here. I do.
So, and we're talking after a weekend where complimentary pieces were the story.
Yeah, I know, which I do feel bad about.
Scott,
they were the only ones who scored.
Lawton's name's been out there from the Philadelphia Flyers. Can he be
the
Nick Paul?
That would be one, yeah. That would be one that, brings you another variable. Yes, yes.
The wrist align in Lawton one is one that's made sense to me as a package for the Leafs, but I would maybe drive the cost.
Now he's doing packages. Is he bringing the brothers, the Shen brothers too?
Yeah.
Is that another one?
I caught Elliot leaning towards the teams asking for the Shen brothers together, and I'm like, can Brad Tree Living just get one? Let's just start with one for now.
Now when I say
instead of two.
Like, do they even want to be together?
Maybe they hate each other.
But I mean, it's not like I'm sure there's this, like Luke's got to be, it's funny. I ran into Luke, whatever it was, 7-8 years ago by the visiting dressing room. And he kidded that he just said, yeah, I'm moving around state by state. You know how much he moved?
Oh my God.
Like, it was so, he's thrilled that he got some stability in a multi-year contract in Nashville. I mean, there's still the allure of Toronto would have some kind of appeal, but it's, but the other part, Kippy and Sammy, is with the Rantanen deal, like, wow, Natchez and Rantanen moving, Calgary and Philadelphia, That's a real hockey trade.
Yeah.
That's not the Canucks having to move JT Miller. That's not a trade deadline. These are real hockey trades.
And,
a lot
and
of
more
stuff's
are coming.
Going. Yeah. And the cap going up, you got room to correct mistakes or whatever it may be. It just seems there's a bit more of the Wild West. I hope it continues.
Luke Shen, amazing path to over 1,000 games. Because you consider where his career was. He went down to the AHL halfway through his career.
Like
it's crazy. Came back up one,
two
cups.
4 years ago, his career was dead in the water.
Yeah.
He was playing. He played in the AHL for parts of 3 seasons. And then he comes back up and he wins 2 cups with the Lightning. It's crazy. Anyways, we should probably go and get to Brickley.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we return, Andy Brickley, Boston Bruins analyst, color commentator for NESN. He'll join us. We'll get into the Boston Bruins and what's in store for Brad Marchand. And also, we'll get into a little Austin and Mitch. Are they tired? We'll get Craig Berube's thoughts, and then we'll get Gord Stellick's thoughts. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Gord Stellick, Sammy McKee. Let's bring in Andy Brickley, Boston Bruin color analyst, Essen. Andy, thanks for joining us as we tee up tonight's contest between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. First and foremost, coming off of Thursday's Canada-US contest in Boston, just your overall thoughts, not only nationally but locally there. How did the fans take it?
Fans took it about as well as you could expect and hope for. It was really a win-win across the board, no matter how you look at it. It's a win for the league, a win for the Players Association, a win for the growth of hockey, a win for television,
yeah,
a win for the city of Montreal, a win for the city of Boston. Just the overall enthusiasm and what this sport could mean to a lot of people, maybe even new viewers based on the way it went. I think the hockey community got the desired final matchup, particularly after that Saturday night game in Montreal. You know, and as an individual, I got to tell you, in the interest of full disclosure, you know, I had like a guarded optimism that it was going to be a great tournament, but I wasn't all in until it started. And then after that Saturday night game, then I was all in. So, you know, for a four-team tournament during the middle of February, during the middle of the regular season when you shut it down for 2 weeks. But, boy, did that win me over. It was fantastic, and the city of Boston was a beneficiary of it, and the crowd turned out, which was spectacular.
No, I agree that, you know, you're looking at what was the – I don't know what I expected, but it's certainly more than realized my expectations. But, you know, one thing, Andy, now, unfortunately, the residue is – no Charlie McAvoy. I mean, he played a monster game against Canada, and I understand he was injured there. And so kind of the saga, how it unraveled. And so right now they're saying, what, no timeline for his return?
That is the word we've gotten. Donnie Sweeney had a press conference a couple of days ago, as I'm sure you're well aware, and he addressed the issues that everybody had, that being one of them. First of all, he led with Hampus Lindholm being done for the year. And my last visual was Hampus on the ice in a contact jersey preparing for post 4 seasons and being back in the lineup. And then you get the word that, I don't know if they use the word setback, but he is not going to play probably the rest of this year. And then you follow that up with McAvoy's going to be out for the foreseeable future. And now you're just 6 games away from the deadline when you were trying to figure out exactly which direction the Bruins were going to take. And all arrows seem to be pointing in that retool when you don't have your top 2 defensemen available.
And that's really put the Boston Bruins in a place where we aren't used to, Andy. And that's on the outside looking in to the Stanley Cup playoffs here. And I had to ask the guys before we went to break, when was the last time the Boston Bruins missed the playoffs? And I'm like, I haven't got a clue. But, you know, how are fans taking this season that no one could have ever predicted?
Yeah, well, you can imagine what the Boston fan base is like when you underperform, and they've underperformed all year, you know. Does it mean they don't have good players? No. Does it mean they haven't had some really quality wins this year? No. You know, they expected to be in the postseason. The organization did, the players did, the fans did. And when it hasn't gone that way, even though you're continuing to hang around, there's a lot of vitriol. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of disappointment. And there's a lot of finger pointing at, you know, the players. And eventually, because they made a coaching change, the focus has now shifted to management. You know, the focus isn't on Joe Sacco. The focus has gone from Cassidy to Montgomery, bypass Sacco, and now more on Sweeney and Neely. And that's a natural progression, what happened in any hockey environment. But, yeah, there's a lot of disappointment, you know, with laced with some anger, because I don't know if you caught the game the other night. You come out of the break. You never know what you're going to get after 2 weeks. But it's an Anaheim team that you feel like that you should be able to secure 2 points, you know, and they do well. They do a nice job to force it to overtime. But then they lose, and then they immediately think about the 2 games before the break when they had leads after 40 minutes in the 2 games leading into the break, you know, against Vegas and the Rangers, and they don't even get to overtime and they leave points on the table. So, yeah, disappointment and anger, I think, is probably the best way to put it to describe the theme of the fan base right now.
Okay, so it's been an uncharacteristically bumpy ride. We know Don Sweeney, when he had the presser earlier, like nothing was going well. The goaltending wasn't. The free agent acquisition weren't, and all that. So now we're at the two-thirds point. The final one-third, obviously injuries key. You can't, nothing you do about those. But what is going okay now, and what remains bumpy in this home stretch, Andy?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Gordon.
So, the free agent players, they seem to be playing better than Sweeney said. Like, I mean, is that kind of got better? What things have got better, and what things are still bumpy that they gotta really look at addressing in the last one-third of the season?
All right, well, let's just look at the obvious numbers and or the underlying numbers that generally determine whether you're a playoff team. You know, their road record's terrible. Their special teams are bottom of the league. Their goal differential is terrible. They don't protect late in periods. They give up goals in the final 2 minutes of periods far too often. They give up goals in rapid succession, which questions their mental toughness. The list is lengthy, where it says this is a non-playoff team. How are they going to win? Well, it's going to be team defense, and you don't see the layers that you used to see. You don't see the goaltending that you used to see when you had the great tandem. It's down on Swayman's shoulders now. He'll play the majority of the games. He's going to have to steal you a few games. You can't simply rely on David Pastrnak to carry your offense night in and night out. You're not getting any secondary scoring. Look at the numbers on lines 3 and 4 in terms of offensive production. They don't get a lot in terms of driving the offense from the black, from the blue line. Now you take out your top two defensemen. So those are the bumpy, rocky aspects of what's in front of the Boston Bruins right now. A lot is going to have to rely on their top six, maybe their top four, and Swayman is going to have to be the guy that he was in the postseason last year if this is going to be a Bruins team that qualifies for the postseason.
Andy, what kind of trade deadline can Boston Bruins fans be forward to look at now with such a short period of time, and Boston still may be teetering on thinking about making the playoffs here? A couple of tough decisions, Trent Frederick, a UFA, and also the captain in Brad Marchand.
Yeah, this could go a whole bunch of different ways, really, if you want to sit down and spend time and think about it. You know, Tony Sweeney used the word cautious, and I think that was, you know, juxtaposed to the fact that it was aggressive, you know, these last several years, right? 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it's been, aggressive at the trade deadline. This was phrased as cautious. I'll come back to the Brad Marchand situation, but I think they've made their decision. I think they've chosen the path that they're going to use, you know, based on what we've talked about here in this conversation to this point. To me, it screams retool and not try to add to this current team thinking that you can do something down the stretch, get into the playoffs, and make some noise. I think through almost 60 games, you are what you are. They know what this team is. There's too many flaws on this team. So will there be transactions? I think so. But I think they'll be of the minor variety, earmarked or designed to help the team in a couple of areas. Can they get a little bit more talented? Can they get a little bit more speed in their lineup? You know, they went away from regular season speed and skill in this past off season to hopefully add some more physicality. You know, they felt like they lost the last 2 years in the playoffs after having good regular seasons because they weren't built for the postseason. They wanted to go out and address that. And I think they lost some speed and skill from some of the players that departed that helped them win a lot of games during the regular season. So that's been an issue too. So maybe some moves that they can make as they determine whether some of these UFAs are worth hanging on to. You know, do you want to hang on to a Trent Frederick, Justin Brazzo? What's his future? You know, go up and down the list. But the Brad Marchand is an intriguing subject. The fact that he doesn't have a contract, hasn't had a contract negotiated throughout the year, kind of makes you wonder which way is this going to go? What does Brad want to do? You know, he does have a limited no-movement clause. But what does he want to do? What is his desire? I know publicly he said he wants to be a Boston Bruin for his entire career. He wants to end his career as a Bruin, but he doesn't want to go anywhere. But there comes a time where in those conversations, you know, maybe he changes his mind and says, I want to go chase a Stanley Cup this year. You know, 36, 37 years old. He's not in his prime anymore, but he is an example setter. And there's no shortage of will to win and will compete, and there never will be a shortage of that in his game. And anybody that feels that they have a chance to win this postseason, he'd be a welcome addition. So I'm not sure which way it's going to go. I think he stays as a Bruin, but I don't think the Bruins will be inactive come March 7th.
So, Andy, give us a little bit of a refresher here. Kipper said to Sammy, hey, when's the last time the Bruins didn't make the playoffs? And I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised because Bruins win a cup in 2011. They go to a Stanley Cup final. They seem to beat the Leafs every year in seven games, Leaf fans. But they have 2 years they don't make the playoffs in between. So this kind of retool maybe they're trying to do now. How did that all play out years ago that they actually were out of the playoffs, but we hardly remember it because they were back in with a force?
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, Gord. I'd have to go back and take a look at it myself. I know they missed 1 year just by a couple of points, and it was very disappointing because they were right there and they still had quality teams or quality plays and should have gotten into the postseason. But yeah, they missed a couple of years early there, and you know, after winning the cup, you know, and after going to the final in 13, it wasn't shortly. It was only shortly thereafter where they missed for a couple of years. I think what are you going to go back to? 2015 was the last year they didn't qualify.
Right.
Yeah. So, I can't give you an exact reason, Gord, to tell you the truth, why they missed. I just know that they were awfully close. It's almost ancient history to me now.
Did the three of us drink heavily back then that we don't remember?
Yeah, I just... Well, I know I do now.
Well, you remember 2011, you remember 13, you remember 19. You don't remember between 13 and 19 as memorable. So,
12 games on tap, including Toronto and Boston. Have a great call tonight, Andy. We sure appreciate you stopping by.
My pleasure, fellas.
All right. Andy Brickley, Boston Bruin color analyst.
First of all, yeah, they win the cup in Vancouver, very memorable. That getting to the final, very memorable. And yep. I guess Andy's point was, much like Tampa Bay didn't make the playoffs 1 year. Remember that? Tampa Bay didn't 1 year. Yep. Just whatever, that they actually were okay, just and just fell short, and they stayed the course. But, man, they would have had Chara then and Bergeron and, you know, like maybe Marchand wasn't what he is became later on. But that's like mind-boggling. They did not make in the playoffs.
Getting back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, we got a few minutes before we reboot for our national hour. But your overall thoughts on Austin and Mitch at the Four Seasons, and now since returning
the Four Nations,
Four Seasons.
They were staying at the Four Seasons. Like, let them finish. Sammy.
Kipper's done that.
Yeah,
I want to go on vacation so badly. Justin's in. Where, Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm stuck here with you.
You want to go on vacation to Disney?
I want to go to the Four Seasons.
Okay, that's fair.
That's where I want to go.
That's fair.
And now Sammy's got a clip for me from Berube on the possibility of these guys being tired. Do you want to go to the clip first and then
sure,
have you
go
react?
To the clip, yeah.
All right, Craig Berube on Austin and Mitch.
Well, they're definitely, you know, yeah, for sure. I mean, but they're grinding through it, and, you know, we're trying to help them as much as we can and for rest purposes, and we're going to have to do that going forward here, too, for a little bit.
Take it away, Gord.
How am I supposed to react? Anyway, Yeah.
Did you see tired guys on the weekend?
I don't know. Well, Connor McDavid -3 in both games. I think you get mentally tired, and you would know that better than any Kipper because you played. Like I think there's a mental part more so than the physical, because Craig Berube said something that wasn't as much in vogue when you played, and certainly when I was around. Oh, we practice every day. We're on the ice every day. Yeah, and you're exhausted all the time, and you're not, you know, and so common sense has come in about particularly late in the season. Some of these players will hardly, well, they won't have long practices, won't practice a lot. I mean, they manage things quite well. So I don't know if I saw tired. I'd think maybe some mentally tired players on the weekend, which only be natural. I just think, particularly for Mitch Marner, of the three of them, that they have not got deep in the playoffs, okay? We all know that. So this was like going deep in the playoffs. And he came up with a big goal at a huge time. He came up with a couple of big assists in the clutch that, you know, that's what was eluded them in the past, that kind of, you know, play, whatever, in overtime, a Gary Roberts goal, a Gary Volk goal, or whatever, you know? And I'm thinking maybe, you know, that's the best about resonating moving forward in the playoffs. Austin gets a bit of a bum rap about what the overtime goal. He played really well. He could have scored overtime goals, so I think it's a positive. Always wonder about him being 100%. You know, I mean, do you think he's 100%?
No.
I don't. And yeah. I'll go back to the game that he skipped in the Four Nations.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, okay, why?
Well, you're already in USA, so you could pick players like Woody. I got to believe he would play if it would have mattered to get in, or if, in fact, would he have not been able to play and just 3 days later was, I don't know. But again, that ends up being, well, last year it looked like everyone's healthy, and then Nylander and Austin Matthews weren't able to play at times in the first round. So I don't know what to think. Again, all these things, it's when game number 83 starts, we'll find out the real thing. But I just think positives. I like that a guy like Erik Karlsson had a strong play.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that guy. And obviously, it's not been a great goal for him in Pittsburgh. But anyway, I thought good experience for the three Leafs.
One more Clipper, Kipper's Clipper that you got here, Sammy, that intrigues me. I've not heard it, but John Tavares being affected by the contract year. Why'd you pick this?
Because he was asked about it. I thought it was a relevant conversation for our Toronto Maple Leafs Hour.
Okay.
Please.
Not a little bit.
There you go.
He's a pro. He just does his thing, you know, like it's every day. He just comes to work. He does his routine. He's got it down. And, you know, he's played extremely well for us. And I don't think he thinks about it, to be honest with you. Not that I've noticed or I haven't noticed any of that with him.
Yeah. And I find it kind of strange because he looks exactly like he has in the past, where he can score points. He's just doing what he's done his whole career here. I just find that interesting that someone would bring that up.
Yeah. Well, it was brought up when the Islander thing all those years ago, right? You know, it became a bit of a distraction. I like what he said. He seems like a consummate pro. Kippy, you know, everyone's always thinking about their contract. It's not, for sure. You know, it's just human nature. I mean, you saw two goaltenders last night, or you saw Ville Husso get traded and Vitek Vanacek play phenomenal last night. Both of them are saying,
yeah,
thank God we signed three-year deals a couple of years ago because we don't deserve it right now when we're trying to, you know, get a new contract.
There are some floating reports out there that perhaps the Leafs could be close with him at $7 million times three, I believe.
Ooh.
I mean, that to me just seems really premature.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that contract?
Well, I mean, obviously, you want him to do 3 years at $1 million. That's what people are saying, because he should do that so you can bring players in and keep them under the cap. So, whatever. Like, I'm big on John Tavares. I didn't see the urgency to sign him, but he may be saying, you know, you're kind of taking advantage of the fact that I want to be here, and that can backfire sometimes. It backfired with Alex Pietrangelo in St. Louis when he went to Vegas, right? You know, numbers came into play. So I still look. Man, the playoffs are going to be such a deciding factor. Like like he came here and has not got them to the promised land, nor has the other guys they drafted from within. But hey, the more the merrier. I don't know. Figure out the cap.
If you're waiting on Mitch, you better be waiting on John, if you ask me.
Great first hour, George.
George.
Like
yeah, same.
George.
Yeah, you were strong, Norm.
Like we shot you out of a cannon, buddy.
That's it, buddy.
Woo-hoo. We go national next. Steve Valiquette. Gord Stellick, Sammy McKee, don't go away. Plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. George.